It's Monday, the 18th of August. Good morning. Brent Laux filling in on the Evan Bray Show for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Happy to be with you. Anything on your mind? We'd love to hear from you at 1-877-332-TALK, 1-877-332-8255. Anything on your mind? By all means, give us a call, give us a text. Time now to spend a few minutes with Dr. Sylvain Charlebois. You've heard Dr. Charlebois on the program numerous times over the past year or so. The food professor, he's the co-host of the Food Professor podcast, and he really is one of those people that's connected and in the know with what's going on with food prices and our economy and the impact on Canadians. Sylvain, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you for having me back.
You're a popular guy. I saw you on Twitter over the weekend having some discussion about what we're seeing south of the border as far as food prices for American grocery shoppers. Are they dealing with the same impact on their grocery budgets as, say, Canadians are? Is it equal?
Oh, impacts are varying, to be honest. And often I get asked the question, well, are food prices too high in Canada? Well, it really depends. Sometimes you actually have to appreciate macroeconomic factors, factors that do impact the entire globe. And, of course, we're not immune to these factors. And, of course, when it comes to input costs like higher grain prices and things like that, it will eventually catch up to us as consumers at the grocery store. But the one story that is that comes up a lot these days are meat prices, of course. Canadians enjoy meat. They consume a lot of meat, and they've noticed higher prices at the meat counter. And so I've actually tried to look at prices in the U.S., and of course, meat prices or beef prices have gone up in the United States as well as in Canada, but the increases are actually much more substantial right here in Canada. And so ground beef, for example, is probably the most affordable bovine source out there. Mm-hmm. In the U.S. in last year, prices have gone up 11%, which is a lot. But in Canada, it's almost 26%, more than double. So you do wonder what is going on in Canada versus the U.S., and I think it has a lot to do. Farmers are making the same amount of money. They're making good money, but it's not really because of them. That difference wouldn't be explained by farm gate prices. They would likely be explained by higher prices in processing. And we know that, well, beef packing in Canada is controlled by two foreign-owned private companies, GBS and Cargill. So we'd love to look at those statements.
But also, I know the cattle herd, the size of the beef herd in North America, I think it might be at its lowest point in years, which also is an impact.
Oh, absolutely. So in Canada, it right now the level is at about 1989. So with 15 million more Canadians, you can feel that there's pressure there. In the United States, it's actually even worse. Their herd size is the same as it was back in 1951. So there's just no supply, and we don't see how things are going to change until probably end of 2026, early 2027. So if you're a beef lover out there, you know, if you see something on sale, take advantage of it.
Yeah, or get to know that rancher. Hopefully, if they're
butchered. When I used to live in Saskatchewan, we did buy a, we did have access to cattle producers, and we could buy a side of beef or a quarter of beef. I certainly would encourage people to do that for sure.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was in a couple of the bigger grocery stores here just recently, and even their amount of beef they have on display is considerably smaller. So I'm guessing they're probably seeing fewer sales, so they're probably not stocking as much either.
Absolutely. And so, of course, you're seeing more conversions between beef and chicken. But what's surprising these days is pork. I think a lot of people are starting to look at pork as another really good option. I mean, as a family, we've always eaten a lot of pork, and pork is a good option. It's still quite affordable.
I agree. I often go to Sobeys here in Saskatoon, and they make these shish kebabs, basically, and it's pieces of beef, pieces of chicken, or pieces of pork, and it's kind of neat to see them lined up, because the beef one, of course, is the pricier earlier one, the chicken was more mid-range. And yeah, the deal always was buying pork. And I'm like you. I don't mind eating pork at all. So what do you think, you know, you were saying meat prices potentially staying high for the next year and a half or so. What about other food costs in the U.S. as opposed to Canada? Are we kind of leading the charge in a negative way as far as paying more at the grocery store?
Well, actually, so this week is going to be a critical week with the Consumer Price Index. We should be getting some data, I believe, tomorrow about what happened in July. Now, last week we learned, despite what analysts were saying, food inflation actually dropped in the United States despite all the tariffs. And, of course, with tariffs, you're expecting inflation to be a problem. But with food inflation, things are actually looking better in the U.S. Now, my question and my concern since day one playing the counter-tariff game in Canada, because a lot of things are counter-tariff right now, from pickles to coffee to tea to oranges. A lot of things are much more expensive now at the grocery store because of counter-tariffs. My concern is whether or not these measures implemented by Ottawa are actually making things more expensive for Canadians at the grocery store. And so tomorrow we'll hear more, because July is an important month because it's several months after the start of these counter-tariffs. And of course, it's 3 months after Liberation Day on April 2nd. And typically, you would see many food companies go through their inventories, so you wouldn't see the impact of tariffs until months later. And here we are. So if we do see the food inflation rate go up tomorrow, I wouldn't be surprised. Why? Well, it's simple. Canadian companies have fewer options. Canadian grocers have fewer options compared to the U.S. So I'm a little bit concerned about food inflation for sure for this summer and going into the fall.
And you talk about counter tariffs. That's where this whole tariff thing to me just becomes ridiculous, because the U.S. slaps tariffs on Canadian products going south. We say, oh yeah, we'll show you. And we put a counter tariff on American products coming into Canada. So I just don't quite understand who wins in a situation like this.
Well, exactly. I think it's just short-sighted. I know a lot of people listening in are probably thinking, well, we need to retaliate. We need to show President Trump that we're strong. Well, I don't think counter-tariffs were the weapon of choice for us. We should have actually looked at other ways to do this. And frankly, geopolitically, we're not doing well as a country. I mean, we're in a fight with India, we're in a fight with China, with canola, as we heard last week, and of course with the United States. So, and when we look at counter tariffs against the U.S., only China is the only country that have actually used counter tariffs against the U.S. So we're not in good company right now. And so I hope that Ottawa will actually look at this from a different angle moving forward, going into the fall.
I know. I think most of us Canadians wake up and say, how come everybody's picking on us? We're the nice guys here.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you may want to pay attention. Like, China is a good example. We actually are the instigator with China because we decided that it was a good idea to implement tariffs on EVs and save jobs in Ontario and Quebec. Who's paying the price? Farmers. Again, we saw that scenario back in 2018 with the Huawei incident. Yeah. Same thing happening here. Chinese are not idiots. They'll go after symbols. And canola, Canada oil, is a great symbol to hit on to get the attention they need.
I have a question off a text line from our listener, Lydia. Ask you, with grain prices across the board being down, we don't see that reflected in the price of oils and grain products. And I guess that's similar to some of the other products that we're seeing. Is it the middleman that's making the money here?
Absolutely. So there's that black box in the middle, of course. When you see grains fall, it's not a bad sign for consumers, but the correlation between farm gate prices and retail prices has always been very weak, whether you're looking at livestock or grains. So a lot of people think, well, if grain prices are down, then prices would drop. When they do go up, then you see retail prices go up because it's Well, it's used often as, well, a pressure point, or it's seen as a pressure point, but it doesn't necessarily explain why retail prices are either going up or down.
I mentioned this earlier before I had you on the air that I was in a liquor store recently, and I just took a walk down. Saskatchewan was one of only, I think, two provinces that have allowed American booze back into our markets. And I was looking at the prices, and I said to the store manager, is this the price now tariffs? And he said, no. I guess they, you know, they buy their shipments. They come through the SLGA here for all of our liquor stores. So they buy it as one big group. And he said it'll be the next shipment they get will reflect the American tariffs on those products that are made in the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. It's about inventory management, and of course, the shipments that we had in our country weren't impacted by tariffs. But yeah, we are expecting American booze to become more expensive. But to your point, I mean, only Saskatchewan and Alberta are carrying American products right now. And I was actually just hearing this morning an executive from a distillery in the U.S. talking about Canada and some of the problems that he's facing or his company is facing. And he did say, well, this is not necessarily a boycott against America. It's a government-led ban by eight provinces. And so, again, I'm very concerned about the image that we're showcasing towards the Americans over the long term. I mean, yes, we are seeing consumers boycotting American products. We are seeing governments banning American products, but those bans or boycotts can go both ways. And of course, being a larger economy, a ban or a boycott on the American side can actually hurt us way more. So we need to be careful here.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's one of those things, as soon as we say something negative, you think, oh my gosh, what's Trump going to say, or how is he going to retaliate against us? Always a pleasure having you on the program. Thanks for your time, Dr. Sylvain Charlebois, and I'm sure we'll talk again.
All right, take care.
You bet. Take care. Dr. Sylvain Charlebois, fellow who's really made a name for himself over the past few years here, being in the media, and you follow him on Twitter as well. The food professor has some interesting insight into our food chain and how everything works. Brent Laux with you. It's 19 after the hour. Thanks for joining us on this Monday. It's the Evan Bray Show on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I don't know about you, but I'm certainly being a lot more selective and careful when I'm grocery shopping. It's all price. I think that's the way it is for most of us when we're shopping for our groceries. But it's amazing to me the price difference that you see sometimes over a short period of time. I think about the big bags of romaine. A lot of the stores carry them. Costco carries them. Superstore carries them. You know, they're the six-pack romaine heads of lettuce, and I love my romaine because I probably make a Caesar salad two or three times a week at our place. But you know, I think of for the past couple of years, I could go to say Superstore or Costco, and you'd often get those six heads of lettuce for what, $6-7? And now you're seeing it some days, and this is where you really have to time your shopping. Some days you go in there and it's like $11-12 for heads of lettuce, and you know, we gotta eat, but gosh, I'm lucky enough at this point in my life, I've got some resources, so grocery shopping, you know, is still a challenge. You pay more attention to it, but I often wonder about young families, people where both parents are having to work and they got kids to feed, and it's got to be difficult. It's got to be challenging for a lot of people out there. Okay, totally off topic. I saw this story on the weekend, and I want to know, did you ever find something cool that had been missing for a long, long time? In Minnesota, a mechanic was doing some work on a 2015 Ford Edge. He found a wallet in the engine compartment. The wallet had been lost 11 years earlier while the car was being built. So this Ford Edge, this 2015 Ford Edge, was built at a Ford Motor Company plant. And one of the people that was working on the assembly line had his wallet, and I know this because the guy remembers it, he had his wallet in his chest pocket. You know, you got a shirt with a pocket for your glasses. For whatever reason, he said he put his wallet in there. He's doing some work under the hood of this Ford Edge being built. The wallet fell out. He didn't realize it at the time. Later in the day, he goes looking for his wallet. There was 2,000 cars in the parking lot, and he wasn't able to find it. So fast forward now, 11 years later, and a mechanic working at a garage in Lake Crystal, Minnesota, was under the hood replacing the vehicle's cooling fans, and he pulled out the airbox, and lo and behold, here's this wallet. In the wallet, identification, $15 in cash, and $250 in Cabela's gift cards. Well, through social media, he was able to find the guy that lost the wallet in that car at the Ford Motor plant, and he reached out to him. He eventually sent the wallet and all of its contents back to him, and the fellow reached out to Cabela's saying, hey, I've got these $250 in gift cards that were in my wallet from 11 years ago. Can I still use them? And of course, Cabela said, of course you can. The guy had bought these $250 Cabela's gift cards to use as Christmas presents for his kids. He had to make other plans. But it reminded me my own situation. I was working at CJME in Regina, and I had the opportunity to move to Saskatoon with Rolco Radio. At that time, I just had a lousy little car, and it was a lousy little Datsun that I drove at the time. But a friend of mine, his father had passed away, and the mother didn't want their car. And it was a big beast, a boat, I don't know, big Chevy, whatever the heck it was. So this would have been, you know, 1981 or so that this transaction occurred. So I bought the car. About 6 months later, I'm cleaning the car, which is something I rarely do anyway. My cars are a mess. But anyway, I'm cleaning this car. I look under the driver's seat, and I pull out a bottle, and there is a unopened Mickey of vodka. And as soon as I saw it, I thought of my friend's dad, and I thought, yeah, I could see that happening. But there was more. I lifted the floor mats in the driver's side, and here is this article wrapped in saran wrap, very well wrapped, and it's in an envelope. So I take it out, unwrap the plastic wrap, open the envelope, and there's $520 bills. And I just thought to myself, man, it must have been his emergency stash. He had $100 under the floor mat, probably maybe didn't have a credit card at the time, so he was using it as his safety net if his car broke down or he needed a tow. As far as the Mickey of vodka, I reached out to the family. I called the fellow's wife and I said, you know, I found this. And she said, you keep it. He would like for you to have it. And I thought that was pretty sweet. You ever find anything like that unexpected? Love to hear your story at 1-877-332-TALK. 1-877-332-8255. Coming up after the news, Dale Eisler joins me. We're going to get his thoughts on what's going on with the Ukraine-Russia war. Dale's had an amazing career. A lot of people remember Dale's name from his days at the Leader Post in Regina. He wrote a book about 15 years ago that may have some connection to what we're seeing in Ukraine and Russia. That's coming up after your news. Thanks for joining us. It's the Evan Bray Show. Brent Lauk's filling in today on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.